Okay, good evening, everybody. Ginner of Shabbos, Chodesh Tov. Chodesh Cheshvan Tov to all. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning. Thank you for all for taking the time, Erev Shabbos, to join us weekly. So I see my mother-in-law also is joining us, Ima, we're matching tonight. Good evening in our tichos. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing right away to get to the sponsor. Let me just, it's right here. Okay, could you see my screen, everybody? Okay, so tonight's shiur, this shiur was originally supposed to be in August. And you remember, it was supposed to be back in August. And I had a family last minute situation where I had to cancel, which I never try to the best of my ability to never do. So this sponsorship is long overdue. And I thank my dear friend Henny Will for her patience and Hashem for bringing us to this date to make up the sponsorship that was supposed to be in Elul. So it is sponsored by Henny Wolf, L'zecher Nishmas, her mother-in-law's Yortzei, which was 18th of Elul. Okay. And Henny said about her mother-in-law, Elaine Wolf, L'ilui Nishmas, El Kachaya, Bas Chaim Yaakov, Allah HaShalom. She was a lifetime Rebbetzin, starting at the young Israel of Malden in Malden, Massachusetts. I found this very interesting, places I never heard of. Sometimes we read about histories from Europe, so this is a history from America. Then to Ohav Tzedek in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And then, closer to home in terms of where we live, the Great Neck Synagogue, I was just calling residence there a few years ago, from 1956 to 2014. She was also a classroom teacher. She loved both her roles, Rabbitson and classroom teacher. She was one of the first graduates of Yeshiva Flatbush, and she graduated from Columbia Teachers College. Interestingly and beautifully and inspiringly, Henny said about her mother-in-law, she always had a positive outlook on life, and her favorite saying was, Kosi Rivaya, my cup overflows. So may the neshama of Al Kachai Bas Chaim Yaakov, whose yurtzeh was 18 Elul, merit an aliyah neshama and the zchus of the Torah that we will share this evening. I'll let us get right to the Mishnah that we are learning. Oh, I must say one thing. I meant to even say this right in the beginning because it's really about last week's shiur. I must thank Esti Klein for reaching out to me, who noticed that Oraisa, which is the Aramaic word for Torah, the root word of Oraisa is Or. We said it in Yukum Prukan on Shabbos, if you noticed. The root word of Oraisa, which is the Aramaic for Torah, is Or, which ties in exactly to our shiur of last week. And it makes so much sense when Chazal say, actually the Zohar says, Kodesh Baruch Hu K'tisha Brichu Istakel B'Oraisa Uvara Alma. Or is Torah. We spoke all about it last week. If you missed that, sure you could catch on while you're Torah. So I thank Esti Klein for pointing that out. Let's go to the Mishnah that we are studying this evening. Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yod Ches. You said you could see my screen, yeah? You could see that it says Avos 3:18. Okay. Hu Haya Omer. Who used to say it's Rabbi Akiva? Excuse me. The great Tana Rabbi Akiva is quoted in the previous Mishnah. Hu Haya Omer, Rabbi Akiva used to say, Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzalem, beloved is man, for he is created in the image of what? In the image of God. Chiba Yesero no das, though an extra measure of love was given to him, so to speak, Chiba Yesera, an extra measure of endearment, no das, though Shenivra Betzalem, because he was notified that he was created in the image of man. So it's not just that we were created in the image of man, but God lets us know that we are created in the image of man. So if you don't know why I chose this Mishnah yet, the reason is because in Parshas Bereishis and also in Parshas Noach, last week's Parsha and this week's Parsha, we are told that man is created B'Tzelem Elokim. Okay, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, how dear is man that he was created, how beloved is man that he was created in the image of God. Not only that, but Chiba Yisera no das lo Shenivra B'Tzelem, an extra measure of endearment because he was notified that he was created in the image of God. How do you know you're created in the image of God? Because the Pasuk tells you, Beferish, Ki B'Tzelem Elokim, Elokim asa asadam, because in the image of Elokim, man was made. Now that is a pasuk, if you look in the English translation, from this week's parsha, Parshas Noach. Okay, however, back in Parshas Bereishis, the Pesukim also tell us that at the very moment that God decided Kaviyachal to make man, Hashem said, and I quote the Pesukim from Perek Aleph, Maisa Bereishis, Perek Aleph Pasuk Vav. The whole world has been created, and what does Hashem declare? Vayome Elokim Nase Adam Bitzalmenu Kidmosenu Uridu Bit Gasayam Uvaof Hashemayim V'chol HaRomes Ubabehema V'chol HaArts V'chol HaRemes HaRomes Ala Arts. So at the moment that God decides to create man, what does he say? Na'aseh Adam, he consults with the Malach HaYasharis to teach us about God's humility. Na'aseh Adam, bitzal meinu kidmusenu. There you have it. And then 127, Perak Alf, Pasuch of Zayin, Vayivra Elokim es Adam, bitzalmo, bitzalem Elokim bara oso zachur nakeva bara osem. So it's clear from the Psukim that the first man, and hence all of mankind, are created in the image of God. The Mishnah here quotes the Pasuk from Parshas Noach. So it's both in Bereishis, at the moment of man creation, and in Noach, when the world has to regrow and re-flourish and repopulate after the flood. So in essence, it's another kind of creation. At both times, when the man is on the cusp of conquering the world, when he is created, we are informed that he is B'Tzalem Elokim Asa Esa Adam. So Rabbi Akiva says, how dear is man that he is created B'Tzalem Elokim. Not only that, but you know that you're created. God let you know that. So we have to explore, and that's the purpose of tonight's shir. What does it mean that we are created B'Tzalem Elokim? Let's just finish the Mishnah, even though for tonight's year, we're not talking about the rest of the Mishnah. We're focusing on this idea, but B'Tzalem Elokim, as it relates to Bereishis and Noach. Chaviv in Yisrael. So that's just mankind is created in the image of God. Now, Chaviv in Yisrael, Israel is so precious, dear, beloved, Shenikru, Banim Lamakom, because Israel is called children to Hashem. Chiba Yisera, no das lahem Shenikru, Banim Lamakom. Not only are we children of God, but God has informed us that we are children of God, and therefore it's an extra degree of endearment. Shenikru, like the Pasuk says in Sefer Devarim, Banim Atem Lashem Elokechem, Chaim Kuchayim Hayom. You are all sons to Hashem, your God. So we know that we're children of God. Not only are we the children of God, it's been notified to us. Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenitam Lem Kli Chamda, Chiba Yisrael, Odaslam Shenitam Lem Kli Chamda. This relates to last week's share a little bit. Israel is so precious because a precious vessel was given to us. That's referring to Torah. An extra measure of endearment because we were notified that we were given this dear vessel. Shenemar Ki Lekach Tov Nasati Lechem Torasi Al Tazvu. I've given you such an important, precious, good portion, do not abandon my Torah. So Rabbi Akiva teaches us mankind is precious because he was created in the image of God and notified that he was created in the image of God. Yisrael is precious because we are children of Hashem and we are notified that we're children of Hashem. And furthermore, Israel has a preciousness that stems from this Chemda, this desirable kli of Torah that we were given, and Hashem notified us about this Lakach Tov Nasati Lachem Torasi Al Tazvu. For tonight's shir, we are going to be focusing on the first teaching of the Mishnah, which is Chaviv Adam Shenivra Batzalem. How precious is mankind that he was created in the image of God, that he was notified he was created in the image of God, like the Pasuk says in Parshas Noach, you see it here, Ki B'Tzalem Elokim Asa Adam. But like I told you, and you're welcome to go look up in the Chumash at home, in Perak Aleph, Psukim, Chavav through Chav Zayin, at the moment that man creates the first mortal human, I shouldn't say mortal, actually, not yet, the first human life form, so he was created B'Tzalem Elokim. So tonight's shir is going to be based on, we're going to use it as the springboard for our shir, a drasha of Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, Zichron Alevracha, that was given, and I always love to see the dates of the drashos, because sometimes he talks about the politics of the time, society at the time, and it gives you such a window into a world that is no longer. This was given on October 15th, 1960. Okay. So he quotes Parshas Bereishis, but I have showed you the Mishnah that we're studying tonight, Gimel Pirkei Avos Mishnah Yerches quotes Parshas Noach, Rabbi Lam's drashos on Parshas Bereishis. Michal Haaretz has chosen this because we are between Parshas Bereishis and Parshas Noach, and both Parshios teach us that man is created B'Tzalem Elokim. Parshas Bereishis, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, teaches us one of the most fundamental concepts of our faith. It is something we speak of often, and that is perhaps why we fail to appreciate the depth and magnitude of the influence. So we, in our religion, Yahadus, the tenet of our faith, is not that we descended from apes and that we came from lower life forms. It is that we came from the highest Malachai v'kayom, life form kavi'ocha that there is, which is the Ribono Sha'olam. The concept of man's creation, B'Tzalem Elokim, in the image of God, is one of the most sublime ideas that man possesses. It is decisive in the Jewish concept of man. So it means that mankind, unlike the beasts that were fashioned from earth, now man was also fashioned from the earth. I know the Pasuk, Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin, but once he was fashioned from earth, the physical form, God blew into his nostrils the soul of life. life. That's Bereishis 2:7. When man is refashioned, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Adam Afer Min HaAdama. So we too are Afer Min HaAdama. Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chaim. However, God blew into us a part of Him, of Himself, so to speak. The pasuk says in Iyov that the neshama is a chelek Elokim Yima. So you come from a portion of God, and we are created Betzalim Elokim. But what does that mean for us definitively, and how do we apply that into our lives? What does it mean that we are all created Betzalim Elokim, which is one of the first teachings in the Torah, both in Bereishis and in Noach? So in Rabbi Lam's words, what does it mean when we say man was created in the image of God? It's a hard concept for us to understand. We don't have a picture, right? It's usher to make. We don't have a picture of the Ribono Shel Olam. It's not a concrete physical form that you can conceptualize. Ki lo yirehani Adam chai. In fact, you can see God and live. Varying interpretations have been offered, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam. So the philosophers of Judaism and the rationalists, the fathers of rationalist tradition, the foremost rationalist, I would say, and the fathers of Judaism is the Rambam. Maimonides was known by and far to be a rationalist, maintained that the image of God in man is expressed by his intellect. By your intellect, by your seichach. Ata chonein la'adam da'as. Ata chonein la'adam da'as. Where did my intellect come from? From nowhere? From magic? From animals? Ata chonein la'adam da'as. Umla made the enosh bina. Where does wisdom I daven nusach svar? I know you say bina haskel, bina dayan haskel, I think nusach ashkenaz. But where does that seichel come from? Where does that intuition bina? 2:22. So where does the bina come from? Where does the da'as come from? Where does the chachma? Where does the seichel come from? Chaneinu mi'itcha. Grant us from you that wisdom. So according to the rationalist Jewish thinkers, such as, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, Sa'adja Gaon and Maimonides, the Rambam. Rambam was a big rationalist, even in his Pshat on the Torah, the visit to the angels, Perek Yerches, to Avraham and Sarah. He explains it in very rational form. So Sa'adja Gaon and Maimonides, for example, explain that Seichel, reason, intellect, wisdom, separate man from animal. That is our unique divine quality that makes us Betzalim Elokim. The intellectual function is what characterizes man as Betzalim Elokim. Thinking that it's interesting because that relates to Nachash's argument. That is what Nachash told Isha in the beginning of Perek Gimel. What did Nachash tell Isha? Ki yodea Elokim, ki biyam achalchu mimenu, v'nipkuchu einechim, v'yisem ke Elokim, yodea. Tovara, yodea, you will have the da'as, elyon. If you eat from the fruit, Rashi says he created the fruit and created the world. If you eat from the fruit, you'll be like God. But what does Nachash say to her? Your eyes will be open. What does it mean to be like Elokim? Yodea. You will have a degree of das that you cannot have without this fruit. You will be like God because you will have das. That's what Maimonides and Rav Sa'adja Gaon maintain, that to be Betzalim Elokim means we have intellect. A degree. Now, we do have intellect over the animals. It's true. However, there is another approach, which is really the focus of Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam's 1960 Joshua, which will be the focus of our shir today. However, the ethical tradition, as opposed to the rationalist tradition of Judaism, does not agree with this interpretation, that seichel, da'as, is what makes man uniquely in the divine image. It must be something else. Thus, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, he quotes in the Mesilas Yesharim, does not accept reason as the essence of divine image. It does mean man does have a higher degree of intuition than animals and wisdom, of course, but that's not what is distinctly divine about us. A man can, continues Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, by exercise of intellect, know what is good, but fail to act upon it. You know it's good to exercise on a regular basis. You know it's good to eat a healthier diet. You know it's good to get fresh air. You know it's good not to sit all day. You know it's good not to watch so much TV. You know it's good not to be on Facebook all the time. But just because you know something is good, it does not, you intellectually might know it's good. It does not mean that society at large acts upon knowing what is good. So that's one reason why Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam explains that, and again he's basing his piece on the Mesilas Yesharim, that Betzalim Elokim does not mean only knowing what's good, because knowing's not enough. If you don't act upon it, you can know whatever you want. Also, another point, the restriction that Salam Elokim means only geniuses can truly qualify as being created in the image of God if we're talking about Dea and Secha. It means it's only restricted to a specific group of people. Those people are smart. Those people are brilliant. If that is the definition of Tzelem Elokim, then what about the Hamon Am, who isn't such a genius? This reminded me of a very powerful piece from Rav Soloveitchik, which I put into the handout, so I'm going back to my screen share. Could you see my screen? This is a very powerful teaching of the Rav. So the argument that Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam just gave is that it can't be that Bezalem Elokim, I can't say it can't be, can't argue with the Rambam and Rav Sadiq God. One kasha on that approach would be, does that mean that it's only for geniuses? And it reminded me of a piece by the Rav. It's so powerful. Rav Soloveitchik's father was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. He was brought over from Europe and became one of the YU Rosh Yeshivas. And then his father was Rav Chaim Brisker, Zecher Tzadik Kol Shel Vracha. So the Rav's uncle was the Griz, the Brisker Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev Halevi Soloveitchik. So you have the Rav, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, his father of Moshe, his father of Chaim Brisker, and his father, the Beis Halevi. You talk about the Beis Halevi, Rav Chaim Brisker. You're talking about Gaonei Olam. And they revolutionized Torah learning and the Brisker method of analyzing Gemara. Gaonei Olam. So look what Rav Soloveitchik says. I want you to understand, says the Rav. We have many stories about the Rabbanim of old. Germany has its stories, Lithuania had their stories, and so forth. These stories do not revolve only around their scholarship. Yes, we have many stories that stress the scholarship of Rabbanim. But that is not the main topic that motivates us to tell stories about Rabbanim. And this is true today. There are such a plethora of biographies about Gedolim. And a vast majority of those biographies, the Rav Pam biography, Rav Nesson Tzvi, Rav Aaron Leib Steinman Zatzal, Rav Moshe, you know what a lot of it is about? Not their Torah erudition and not their brilliance, their midos, their interaction with others. The main topic, says the Rav, motivating these stories was the sensitive conscience, and sense of justice that the Rav possessed. For instance, there are many stories about my grandfather, he says, Rav Chaim Brisker. And then says, Rav, please, I am not trying to somehow sell you my grandfather. First of all, Rav Chaim Brisker does not need to be told. And second of all, I am not a chassid in the sense that I tell stories to glorify a magnified person. This is such a powerful piece. There were many stories about my grandfather's intellect. There is no doubt he possessed great intellectual ability. He had an excellent head, Rav Chaim Brisker, my grandfather. He was a genius. Genius, no doubt about it. And then the Rav goes so far as to say, however, I am not impressed by these abilities. His grandfather was a genius. And the Beis Halevi was a genius. And they revolutionized Torah learning. And the Rav says, I am not impressed by these abilities. They were given to Rav Chaim by the Almighty. Some people, he, meaning God, presents with a beautiful, precious gift, a great mind, brilliant intellect, genius head. Others get very little. I am more impressed by Rav Chaim's heroism as far as social justice is concerned. He possessed a sensitive conscience, a sensitive heart, and unlimited courage. I am telling you this, says Rav, so you can understand what the Torah demands. I have many stories about this aspect of Rav Chaim. Elsewhere he says that the unwed mothers in Brisk used to leave newborn babies on the doorstep of Rav Chaim Brisker because they knew the baby would be taken care of. In the antechamber to his home, they had all kinds of homeless people sleeping, signs, don't wake up the people on the couches. So the Rav says, yeah, my grandfather was brilliant, he was a genius. But that's a gift from Hashem. What a person does with themselves, I'm going to add in. That's your Tzelem Elokim. That's bringing it to fruition. That's bringing your latent potential to fruition. That was an amazing story about Rav Yeshe Ber Soloveitchik, his great-grandfather. The Beis Halevi, 1820 to 1892, were the dates that the Beis Halevi lived. Young. One Erev Shavuos, late in the afternoon, on his way to Shul, the Beis Halevi noticed a flower stand that was still open of Chaim Brisker's father. He went over to the woman, the original Rav Yeshe Ber Soloveitchik, and he said, my dear, it's late. We will usher in Yom Tov. Why don't you go home to your family? Yes, said the woman, but Rabbi, I haven't sold any flowers. The count sent in a wagon loaded with flowers. Everyone brought greenery from the count. His flowers were much better than mine. What shall I do, Rabbi? I have nothing in the house. No food, no wine, no candles. I have nothing to look forward to if I don't sell flowers. Rav Yeshe Ber told the woman to step aside. He took her place. He began to announce how beautiful the flowers were, How tender and green the twigs and the leaves. People encountered a very strange scene, the world-renowned rabbi in his festival garments zealously selling flowers and charging exorbitant prices. Of course, all the flowers were sold quickly, despite the prohibitive prices. Says the Rav, whether the story is true or untrue, he's talking about his own great-grandfather, the fact that such a story is told is indicative of the demands the Jew makes upon his own conscience as regard to Kedusha. You have to help someone in distress. You sacrifice not only your money, your dignity, and your pride. To help others is not only an ethical act, but a great experience through which you come one or two steps closer to the Almighty. One or two steps closer to the Almighty. And we can say one or two steps closer to living life in the image of the God in which you were created. So going now back to the piece by Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. The restriction of Stalem Elokim to Seichel, to Das, to reason, means only geniuses will really qualify as being created in the image of God. That can't be. And so the Ramchal of Moshe Chaim Lutzato is by his grave. He's buried in Sfar, right next to the Rambam, actually. Okay, the Ramchal offers a different interpretation. What is Tzalem Elokim? The Tzalem Elokim that man was created with is Ratzon, the freedom of choice, free will, what we could call Bechira Chafshis. The fact that man is a choice between good and evil, between right and wrong, between exercise or not, donuts or not, etc., going to a shir or not, between obedience and disobedience, is what expresses the image of God into which he was born. An animal has no freedom to act. A man does. And that ethical freedom makes man unique in creation. How does the freedom of will express itself? Many years ago, I heard Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein speak at Congregation Shari Tefillah. It was a lot of years ago. I think it was before I was even teaching. I don't remember anything that he spoke about. But one thing I remember from this year, and it's stuck in my head all these years, and it's going to relate exactly to Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb says. Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein said, a slave can only say one word. It's really two, but one. Yes. Yes, master. All a slave can say is yes. He does not have the freedom of choice to say no. The master says, get up at 2:30 in the morning and harvest the fields. Yes, your master. Work, yes. Harvest, yes. Tie my shoes, yes. Take me to the bathhouse, yes. I don't know. Feed the animals, yes, yes, yes. I want to take a nap, you can't. I want to go put on tefillin, that's why a slave is putter. You can't, because the only thing you could say to the master is yes. And freedom, said Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein, is represented in man's ability to say no. No to the elements in society that are harmful to us. No to ideas that are contrary to Judaism. No to friends that bring us down instead of elevating us. No to conversations that should be off of limits. How does the freedom of human will express itself, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb? A man, and this is exactly what Zachariah Wallerstein said. A man does not assert his freedom by merely saying yes to all that is presented before him. Each of us finds himself born into a society which is far from perfect. So what should we say today, 60 years after this was said? We are find ourselves in a society which is far, 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 far from perfect. We are all born with a set of animal drives. We too have instincts. We have intuition. If we merely nod our head yes to all the forces which seem more powerful than us, then we are being passive and devoid of the personality of the Tzalem Elokim within. If we only say yes, we are not free. And if we only say yes, we are not executing our divine right of choice. Freedom in the image of God is expressed in the word no. When we negate that which is indecent, when we say no to that which is evil, when we refuse to partake of that which is ungodly, when we have courage and power to rise and announce that we will not submit to the pressures to conform to society around us, then we are free men. Then we respond to the divine image in which we are created. That's so much of Judaism. Oh, he's going to say it. I shouldn't tell it to you yet. I was going to say on my own that so much of Judaism is about saying no. No, I will not eat chalav mixed with basar. No, I will not speak slander because I'm not supposed to. No, I will not eat a chametz bagel on Pesach. No, I will not light a fire on Shabbos. No, I will not be with someone from the opposite sex who is forbidden to me. A lot of Judaism is about saying no. Okay, I'm going to skip because I brought it up. Rabbi Dr. Nur, and then I'm going to go back. Rabbi Dr. Nur Malnaim says, Moshe was a great teacher. He gave us 613 commandments, but when you investigate the mitzvos, you find 248 are ase, positive. 365 are low, ta'ase, what we translate as negative, you shall not do. When we learn to say no, we are free men in the image of God. The famous Ten Commandments, Rabbi Dr. Nur Malnaim points out something that I just never thought of before. Only three of the ten are ase. Anochi is ase. Lo hi alachal mecherim alparai. Lo tisa shem Hashem al kechalashav. Zachar and shamar and then kabes avicha. And the whole other side, lo tinaf, lo tirtzach, lo tignov, lo sanai berecha echecher, lo techmo. Do not, do not, do not, do not. It is only through these lo ta'ase that we live and survive and thrive. Because without you shall not murder, there can be no society. Without you shall not steal, there can be no normal conduct of business. In fact, lo nechtar gzar dinam ela halagazel. Why was the world in the time of Noach destroyed? Rashi says they were involved in arayos, sexual immorality, avodah zara, and chamas, thievery, gazel. What was the seal of the deal? Chamas, thievery. Without you shall not steal, there can be no normal conduct of business. Without you shall not commit adultery, there shall be no normal family life. Without you shall not lust, lo tachmod. The human personality will denigrate. A man becomes nothing more than an animal. Degenerate. A beast. I'm going back. And he offers such a beautiful pshat. There's a famous pasuk from Koheles. The end of the pasuk is Umotar ha'adam min ha'behem ayin. You know, I'm going to show it to you so it's easier for you. I looked up the whole pasuk. I actually wrote, I take notes in my sefer. But it's going to be easier if I show you the pasuk than just tell it to you outside. It's a pasuk in Koheles, Perek Gimel. See, I take, look, I'll show you when I prepare. See all my notes in my shir? In the, on the bottom, you see I wrote the pasuk. The full pasuk, but it's easier if I show it to you on the screen. Okay. 319, Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Tes in Koheles. Could you see Koheles on my screen, everyone? Okay. So Shlomo Melech says, Ki mikra b'nei ha'adam u'mikra ha'behema, u'mikra echad lahem. What will happen to human beings at the end of the day, which is death, and what will happen to animals, one thing will happen to both of them. No man lives forever and no beast lives forever. Ki mozeh kein, mozeh, this one will die, that won't die. V'ruach echad l'kol. There is one spirit to all of them. However, the pasuk concludes, and this is the phrase Rabbi Dr. Nur Malnaim is going to speak about, Umosar ha'adam min ha'behema ayin. So is there really anything extra? Is there anything special about man over beast? No, there is nothing. Ayin is nothing. Ki akol hevel. Everything is futility. So the pasuk sounds pretty dreary. The pasuk sounds pretty depressing. What will happen to beasts? What happened to men? This one will die and that one will die. They each have one spirit. They both each have the spirit of life. Is there anything extra or unique about man over beast? Ah, yeah, no, there's nothing. Kiel kol hevel. It is all futility of futilities. Rabbi Dr. Nur Malnaim quotes the renowned Regisseur Rav, and he interpreted this pasuk from Koheles in a totally different way. Umosar ha'adam min ha'behema ayin, which on the pshat means the preeminence of man over beast is nothing. However, the Regisseur Rav, Rabbi Aaron Levine, gives a very different interpretation than this gloomy, depressing interpretation. And that is, Umosar ha'adam min ha'behema, what distinguishes man over beast? Ayin, the ability to say no. What gives me, when an animal has to mate, okay, that's it, there and he. The male elephant's going to come and he's going to go amongst the herd and he's going to find the female. And the cheetahs who are solitary are going to find each other. And they'll think, oh, you know, I don't know, maybe it's not the right time of the month. And even though I'm interested, I really have to hold back. That's unique to human beings. And when the animal wants to eat, it's going to eat. I'm just fleishiks now, I'm milichiks, I'm not sure, I could eat, I can't eat. animal that Yinu wants to steal the kill. The pride of Yinu is going to steal the kill of the jaguar. So you know what they're going to do? They're going to steal the kill. It's not really nice. It says, you know, lo tigzol. I'm not sure the cheetah really killed the wildebeest. Is it really nice if me, the hyena, and my pack take, they're going to steal the meat. And they're going to mate when they want to mate, and they're going to eat when they want to eat, and they're going to relieve themselves when they want to relieve themselves. So what's the difference between man and beast? Says the Register Rav, Umosar minha adam minha behema? What gives man distinction over an animal? I and the ability to say, no, not now. It's not the right thing now. Lo tignov, lo tigzol, lo tinaf, lo tirtzach, lo tachmod. I also have animalistic drives. But I can say no. So Yom Kippur comes and I could say I'm not going to eat for 26 hours. That what makes you godly. Not saying yes all the time. What is it that makes man different from the rest of creation, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam? What makes us superior to the rest of the natural world? It is the capacity to say ayin, to face the world and announce we will not submit to your norms. We are different than you. We will accept your challenge and we will say no. I will not watch what Hollywood puts on their screen because my Torah is different than your law and my ethics are different than yours. An animal has no choice. I gave a few illustrations of it. Dr. Norman Lam does not. An animal has no freedom. He says yes to his drives. That's why the Nachash couldn't understand Isha. The Nachash was walking, talking, but he was an animal. Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, I'm taking a break from Rabbi Lam for a minute. Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch says, what was the Nachash saying to Isha? I don't understand you. In the animal kingdom, Chayos Hasada, if you want to eat, you eat. There's no rationalization. There's no thinking. There's no yes, no fleshix, milachix. 6 hours, 3 hours. Truma, Meiser, Shmita, Yova, I can't. You want to eat it, so eat it. What's the problem? So take the fruit. It's probably delicious. You should eat it. She didn't listen. She didn't have the ability to say no. She said yes. She became like an animal. That was the first sin, saying yes. Vatere ha'isha ki tov ha'etz l'manchal. Wow. V'chi taiva hu le'enayim. V'nechmer ha'etz ha'askil. Be like a nachash. Vatikach me'piria v'tochal. She said yes. That's man's downfall, when he doesn't know how to say no. Vatitin gam le'isha ima v'yocha. And when man says no, he is being godly. He is showing that he was created in the image of God. So I was thinking to myself, why does that mean you're created in the image of God if you could say no? All right, Dr. Lam doesn't write this, but to me it makes a lot of sense. I wrote it in my share preparation. You know why it's godly to say no? You know why you're B'Tzelem Elokim? Because does Hashem say yes to everything we ask for and everything we want? Does Hashem say yes to everything you daven for? No pun intended. The Ribbono Shel Olam does not give us all our wishes, all of our desires. He does not acquiesce to every request and every demand. His father asked his Rosh Hashiva, I believe Rabbi Alon, to tell people Hashem did answer us. He just said no. It's very famous. I'm sure some of you are aware of that. So I was thinking, perhaps that's what it means. When man says no to that which is ungodly, he is being godly. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam does not say yes to everything we want, every time we want it, exactly when we want it. And if we have a mitzvah and an imperative to be B'Tzalmo, B'Tzalmo Kim Bara Oso, then we have to learn also how to say no. Sometimes that means saying no to our children. Sometimes it means saying no to ourselves. Sometimes it means saying no to our friends. Everyone's going out to a certain place. Come on, you're so religious. You have to stay home. Sometimes it means no to certain conversations. Sometimes people in a restaurant that has a hechsher that your rabbi said you can't eat in. You're so frumped. It's fine for us. That's fine. Respectfully. Being godly is saying no, because the reality is, and Rabbi Ram doesn't say this, but it makes sense to me, the Ribbono Shel Olam says no to us sometimes too. Adam, Avram, I'm skipping a little bit. Avram was the first Jew, the first great Jew. But he is not famous so much for saying yes as for saying no. He was the great iconoclast. What is the first Nisayan of Avram Avinu? It's also in Parshas Noach, by the way. It's right at the end of Parshas Noach. It's not in the Pshat of the Psukim. Rashi brings down the Medrash Bereishis Rab, but it's a Perikid Aleph Pasuchov Ches. And Rashi tells us that Avram threw his father's, Avram smashed his father's idols, and Terach denounced him to Nimrod, and Nimrod threw him into the fiery furnace. What does it mean to smash the idols? I'm saying no to the schmutz of the world around me. I'm saying no to the impurity. I'm saying I will not be part of this. It was he who said no to the Avodah Zarah of his day. It was he who said no to his father's paganism. It was he who was one man pitted against the entire world, shouting no to all the obscenities of contemporary civilization. Now he goes into the piece about the Ten Commandments being more no than yes, and we already went through that together. And so says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, V'hamosar ha'adam min ha'behema. What gives man his godliness over beast? Ayin, the ability to say no. That gives man greater dignity and superiority over the animals. It is this freedom of the human personality that we Jews must reassert once again in our own day. This force, this courage, this conviction has sustained us throughout the ages. It is that which has given us the power to say no to the threats of Haman, the cruelties of the Chelminsky massacres, Gzeres Tachvatah, 1648-1649, they slaughtered hundreds of thousands of Jews. It gives us the power to say no to the genocide of Hitler and the sugar-coated missionizing of the more enlightened enemies of Judaism. The next holiday is Hanukkah coming up. The more enlightened enemies of Judaism. Give up Bris Mila. We said, no, we won't. Give up Shabbos. No, we won't. Give up Rosh Chodesh. No, we won't. Give up Torah learning. No, we won't. We demonstrate the image of God, and that is our freedom. We say no. And I did not make the connection to Pirkei Avos of a Dr. Norman Lamb. I skipped a lot of the piece. If anyone has a sefer, you want to read the whole thing, I brought you extra sources. It's Drashot the Doe wrote on Sefer Bereishis. He quotes Rabbi Akiva and the Mishnah that we began with. Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, I quote from one of the greatest teachers of Judaism, a man who indeed showed in his life the ability to say no. It is none other than Rabbi Akiva, the man who stood up to the wrath of the mighty Roman Empire and said no to tyranny and no to despotism, who taught us, beloved is man, that he was created in the image of God. And he doesn't quote the Gemara, but I want to share it with you, where we see the Rabbi Akiva says no. I put it on the screen for you. It's right here. Could you see Amim Maseches Brachos, Samach Aleph Beis? Tanu Rabbanan. Rabbi Lam doesn't quote it, but this is where Rabbi Akiva so beautifully says no. And it's Rabbi Akiva who teaches you. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzala. Tanu Rabbanan Pam Achas Gazra Machos Harasha Shalo Yasku Yisrael B'Torah. One time, the wicked kingdom, meaning Rome, came and they said, Israel, you cannot engage in Torah study. I don't want to do that. I'm just not going to be able to highlight it, because when I highlight it, it just gets a little... You could see it on my screen. I'm not highlighting because it messes up the screen. Tanu Rabbanan Pam Achas. So one time, the wicked kingdom of Rome said, Israel shall not engage in Torah learning. A slave says yes, a free man says no. Ba papus ben Yehudu matzol Rabbi Kiva shahaya makil kehilos berabim v'osek b'Torah. Rabbi Kiva said no. Papus ben Yehudu comes and he finds Rabbi Kiva and he's gathering, large gatherings of people, of Jews, and he's teaching Torah in public. That's no. Amarlo, Akiva, iya tamis yari pnei machus. Akiva, I don't understand. Aren't you afraid, Mesech Tzbrachos Samech Alpiz? Aren't you afraid of the Romans? Amarlo, Famous mashal, I've spoken about it before. I'm really not bringing it to you for the mashal. I'm bringing it to you because I believe that this line in the Gemara illustrates what Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb says, that it's a great Rabbi Kiva who had the ability, one of the greatest teachers, if not the greatest teachers who ever lived in the history of Judaism. And what defines his essence, B'Tzalem Elokim? His ability to say no. Roman said, don't teach in public. And Papa Spanuto comes and he finds him teaching Torah in public. And not only that, Makilos Kilos Berabim, he's gathering great assemblies in public. Are you afraid of the Romans? Rabbi Kiva said, no, I'm not afraid of the Romans. Rabbi Kiva launches into this whole mashal, beautiful mashal. It would be humorous if it wasn't Mamish Torah here. I'm going to give you a mashal to a fox that's walking by the side of the river. And he see, it's not really related to Shir the mashal. I just happen to love the mashal. And the fox sees fish. And the fish are swimming from place to place. So the fox says, what are you afraid of? Who are you running away from? So the fish says, we're running away from the nets of the fishermen. So he says, I have such a good idea, says the fox. Why do you come up to the dry land? And me and you will take a stroll together. Me, the fox, you, the fish. Like my forefathers dwell with your forefathers. The fish said, sounds chalil v'chasim. I'm sorry, like what are those stories called? The stories we used to tell our kids, you know, Little Red Riding Hood and Three Little Pigs. I said, Lahabda elf alfe of dos, but it's Mamisha Gemora, Torah, Yivitzarich, Anilomod. So the fish say, excuse me. Are you the smartest of all animals? Lo pikeach ata, ela tipesh ata. You're not wise, you're not smart. Tipesh. Umabim akom chiyusenu an misyar. And you want us to jump out of the water and go onto the yabasha to be with you, the fox? You're going to eat us. In the place of our life in water, we're afraid of the fishermen nets. If we come out onto the dry land, how much more so are we going to be afraid? So I just thought of something. Actually, I wasn't planning to teach the mashal, but I happen to love it. The fish teach us about the ability to say no. And maybe that's another degree of the story here that the Gemara narrates. The mashal that Rabbi Akiva chose is not just fish saying we need water like a Jew needs Torah. The fish are saying, no, we will not jump out to the Yabasha because it means certain spiritual death to leave water of Torah. We live in a society. So Rabbi Akiva says, so to us, we're sitting on Osek in Torah. Kihei chayecha v'orach yamecha. If we stop teaching Torah, how much more so will we be lost? Rabbi Akiva was not afraid of the Romans. Aren't you afraid? And he said, no. Are you going to stop teaching Torah? No. Are the fish going to come out of the water? No. Does a Jew have to give in to every schmutz in society? Every new fad? Every form of entertainment? Everything that is said online, sometimes they get memes or jokes from people. They're so inappropriate. I think it's like interesting that someone sends me such a thing, but I don't know, would you say that to somebody? It's not so inappropriate. Don't worry. It's not like pornography, chas v'sham, but just even there's such a lack of sensitivity in the lashon, or sometimes it has not a nice word. It's like, not funny. Why are you sending these things? Think about it before you press send. I will not forward. I will not send. I will not read. I will not repeat. I will not tell. I will not watch. And your B'Tzalem Elokim. It's easy to say yes to everything that goes on in society around us. It's easier to say, I will eat ice cream after my steak. I'm not talking about Parv or Trader Joe's. It's easy to say, Chas v'shalom, I will not keep Taras HaMashpacha Chalila. Nobody misunderstand my statement. It's easy not to be bound by restrictions and lo this and lo that. But then you're not godly. Because then you don't have the courage to go against the tide, pun intended, with the fish. Chavivin Adam Shanivra B'Tzalem. Beloved indeed, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, and precious and unique and irreplaceable as man when he has the freedom of will that was granted to him by the Creator. No, I will not dress like everyone else in society. Why? Everyone else dresses like that. And so the standards get a little bit lower and a little bit lower and a little bit lower. Yes, 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 we give in. And then you can't tell the difference between me and them. I'm not giving anyone mussar. Everyone has to ask themselves what your line is and where it used to be and what has happened. And when we look at society around, there's so much schmutz, sometimes it's hard to realize we're not saying no. I will not spend hours on my phone. I will not post everything on Facebook. No, I will not be on Instagram. Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, not only Chavivin Adam Shenivra B'Tzalem, but like the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva says, Chiba Yesera, you have an extra degree of dearness. Why? No da'at lahem Shenivra B'Tzalem. Because you know you're created in the image of God. A special love is given to man by God. Yes, it's a special gift. But not only when man knows it, but when he chooses to combat evil, when he allows the great constructive forces of good innate in himself to come to the fore, then man is truly living up to the Tzelem Elokim in which he was created. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzalem. Chiba Yesera, no da'as lo Shenivra B'Tzalem. Shanemar, ki B'Tzalem Elokim, asa asa Adam. I thank Henny Wolf. I know this was long overdue. It was supposed to be 18 Elul, but Hashem had other plans. May the neshama of Elaine Wolf, Allah Hashem, El Kachaya, Bas Chaim Yaakov, Merit and Aliyah Hashem, the Zchus of the Torah that we shared. Thank you all for taking the time to learn with me. I wish you a wonderful Shabbos. And Ba'azor Hashem, we will continue next week. Thank you so much. And Chodesh Tov to all. Kol Tov. Thank you. Laila Tov.